This is Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is Midnight Guyfly.
This is Dr. Head, and you are experiencing...
Unsane Radio.
Oh, this is my turn.
Paging Dr. Tar.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Paging Dr. Tar. Anyway, my choice topic of discussion was to go through Dust and Alter, which found on YouTube, you know, the two channels. Just kind of find something that may have interested you, either any of you guys. I admit, it was tough. There are some bad ones out there, but there's some interesting ones out there.
There really are.
So, but yeah, it's kind of like weeding through horror movies, but yeah.
But 5 to 12 minute horror movies, you know.
Yes, that's the thing. That was like, their only redeeming feature.
I'm willing to forgive it. You know, it's like you can't do a whole heck of a lot in a short story format. You got to hit the ground running and go, or establish a mood and keep it really quickly.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Exactly.
And
you're right.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I saw some things that were kind of fun, but nothing that was. Took the chance to be something extraordinary, or like, let's do something crazy in 5 minutes, you know, or 10 minutes. And they were done well, though. They were like shot effectively.
The ones that I saw. Right. And that's what I mean.
On Alter.
There's so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just kind of hard to go through all of them.
It's a great place for indie artists to have their stuff showcased, you know, and I like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
It's just kind of fun to explore sometimes. Yeah.
And
so is Dust.
I don't know about Alter too much, but Dust is very international. A lot of films from other places other than the United States.
So is Alter.
Which is like very, very good.
You get different perspectives. You know, I like that.
Yes, yes.
You know, absolutely. I like seeing foreign. We all love foreign movies anyway, because you get a whole different kind of cultural bias and bedrock beliefs and a way of looking at creating film and telling stories. So I really like that.
I do too. Yeah. So we don't want to give away too much in these little shorts. We kind of want you to go look at them. So we're going to kind of talk about them in a general aspect, I guess, as much as we can. So whoever wants to go first, you know, should I go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, the first one I picked was from Alter, and I had seen this a while ago, but it was called a Portrait of God. And I don't know. It's kind of like one of those cosmic horror things. I hesitate to call it that, too. But yeah, I guess it would be. But anyway, it shows a student getting her thesis or just, you know, she obviously has an upcoming speak about this picture. She's an art critic or whatever, an art historian or whatever she is. But she picked a picture that's done by this person. And when you look at it, all you see is black. She goes, and you know, and she's recording this, timing her speech. So, you know, she has a clock in front of her and a tape recorder here doing all this stuff. And she has a projected image of the picture, which is black when you first look at it. And she goes, don't, you know, and she's recording, asking what she's going to tell her audience and stuff. You know, because don't worry, I see black too. It's the responses you get from people that have looked at the picture. Then she like times it. So she plays these recordings of witnesses or people that have experienced the picture. And then describe seeing a being, you know, and later she makes the equation. Are they experiencing a religious experience? Anyway, so it goes on and it becomes this creepy. Yeah. So it's just
that sounds pretty interesting.
It has that, I guess I don't like it because, well, I like it. I like the story, but the creature itself, yeah, I don't want to ruin it. But anyway,
yeah.
but anyway, the guy, Dylan Clark, he directed it. He did the actual artwork and he did the effects. So, yeah. So, you know, it's his movie. And I'd seen this a while ago on Alter. But, yeah, it was one of the few that I kind of liked. And it captured that, I guess what I liked about it, because it was that really subtle, the dark. You know, you can't quite make it out what's back there. And that, to me, that was really, that's what was creepy about it. And it was just, I thought it was done well. Oh, anyway, that was my first one. Anybody want to?
What, Dr. Head?
My first one I watched on Alter is The Fisherman's Wife.
Ah, okay. That's my, that was my second one. Okay.
Okay. Look at that.
Out of all of the hundreds.
I know what
it was. I think it was one of the first ones that on the list. I'm like, let's just start here.
You know, I actually hunted for my fish for it.
No, I fish for it. And this is an almost wordless movie, or only a couple lines of dialogue in the entire thing. It's almost silent, and there's this the color palette is really muted and kind of dismal. And it's about a fisherman tending to his nets and walking along the side of the beach, and
obviously poorly.
And it's about what he catches. I mean, you're gonna see it within 30 seconds or so. But it's what happens after. That's what makes the film horrific. And I kind of thought it was going to go to some one of these places, and it did. I did not expect the other place, which was fine.
The punchline?
No, the punchline I thought was the only weak part of the whole movie. I thought it was the way it was delivered. Maybe
I laughed because I thought it was all set for that.
It was. It's set up for a joke, but I think if it had been delivered by someone differently or a little more quietly, a little more broken it up, so it doesn't come off as being the punchline, kind of bright and chippy. That was the only
and
thing.
And something that looked the part, too. Sorry.
Yeah, so, yes. And it's such a dismal, you know, kind of looking film, but, it you know, and, hey, 8 minutes, you know, what do you want?
Yeah, right. Got enough so it got on my list. So.
I think I covered the bases without spoiling anything.
Revealing, yeah.
There's my first one. Well, how about you, Professor Feather?
My first one was I chose both of mine off of Dust because I just couldn't really find anything that grabbed me.
Oh, it's
when
hard.
I watched some stuff on Alter and I just didn't find anything that really grabbed me. But my first one is came out this year. It's called Exodus. It was directed by, because I think this was a French-made film, because Alexandre Lefebvre, André Blanco, Ramiro, Mathieu Romay, and Lionel Schramm. They directed it, and that's about the other credits I couldn't really see very well, so I don't really know what anybody else did. It opens with a sweeping overhead aerial shot of a mist-enshrouded land and sea, an audio overlay starting with the words, "Consequences of nature and humanity are sweeping and severe." The visuals switch to a montage of real scenes of pollution in all its form, while the voiceover continues, switching to several voices saying pretty much the same thing, ending in mentioning climate change. The montage then switches. The montage is real footage of, you know, landfills and just pollution in general. Then it switches to a rocket blasting off. This is at the end of the montage of a rocket blasting off in space. And then it cuts back to an underwater shot of a floating plastic container amidst a small school of fish. Then it cuts to black. Then there's a slow fade in from black that reveals a desolate landscape replete with garbage and all sorts of waste, air pollution. Everything is covered in a mist. Looks pretty toxic. Two huge beacons of light can be seen in the background shooting up into the sky. The inference is that Earth has become a desolate and unlivable planet. From this fade on the film, from this fade on, I believe it's all CGI from this point on, and done extremely well.
Yeah, yeah.
And a spacecraft enters into the scene. It lands, and two space-suited people, they're both men, get out and start to run some tests. Very little dialogue. And then they run in, they go to do some other tests. You kind of see the beacons. I really wasn't sure what they were. They looked like some kind of a plant or something. I don't know, but they run into some difficulty, and that's really, it's a very short film. It's only 5 minutes long. I don't really want to go much into detail. I think it's very well shot. I like the montage, the way they did it. And you know, it's not a unique story by any means. It's definitely a story. It's called Exodus, which kind of gives you a clue. But I liked it. I really liked it because it told the story in such a succinct way. And you got everything, you know, they never left anything open at all. And I really appreciate that. And I'd highly recommend it. I thought it was very good. That was my first pick.
That was my only pick.
Oh, was it really?
I did, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine. You did exactly right. I think the thing that really took me was when I saw the hippopotamus, you know, kind of peeking up out of the junk and stuff like that. And just the name Exodus really, I thought, fit what the thing was about, you know, because you find out, you know, why these people. Yeah, it's just, I said, it's really good.
Well, the hippopotamus shows up twice.
Yeah.
Because he shows up in the beginning footage, you know, of the pollution and everything. But then later on, while they're the space people, the spacemen or the astronauts, whatever you want to call them, it pops up through all this garbage, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of a statement, mm-hmm. that, you know, everything seems to be dead, but it's not, you know.
Life.
Nature will survive. Yeah. You know,
life finds
a way. Exactly.
Okay. Since Dr. Head took my second one, I got a third one.
We're all stealing from each other.
This is so weird.
I got a third one. And this was an older one. I saw this one when we first talked about Dust. And it was Good Business. And that was my other one.
Was it?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, I saw. Yeah. Anyway, it was.
That would have been real funny.
The story's like, you know, you got Earth arms dealers. They're on a planet, and the native intelligence is probably kind of like Native American level, I guess. Yeah. You know, they ensue that it's like. Anyway, they're selling arms to these crab-like beings. You know, and they're making a deal.
Is it CGI?
The creatures are, and done well, I think. You know, they're believable, and it's a good little. Yeah. It's only like 10 minutes long, but it kind of gets that Vietnam. You know, that kind of. You get that kind of vibe, but yeah,
what's it called again?
It's called Good Business. Oh, and it was also based on a comic called Good Business by, who was that? It's also called, the short on YouTube is also called Scoids. Scoids, Good Business.
How do you spell Scoids?
I don't know. Scoids. Simon Ray did the comic. Ray Sullivan did the actual little short film.
Short film.
Directed it. And there was a whole host of people. It wasn't a cheap, little cheap thing. These guys looked, the CGI looked really good, I thought. I mean, it fit within that story. And I thought the alien design was really good, too. It looked, it was plausible, you know, with crustacean and all that stuff. It was just, so, yeah, that was an interesting one to me.
Dr. Head?
My next one is...
Scoids? What?
Scoids! it's called Good Business. No, this is My Scary Indian Wedding. And yes, I saw the title. I'm like, okay, I got to watch this. It's like 12 minutes. I'm like, well, it's a little long, but...
I know, right? I did. Seriously, I did. I got to a point where...
12 minutes? Do I really want to spend 12 minutes?
Go ahead, Dr. Head. Go ahead, Dr. Head.
Yes. The plot is the clock is ticking as a cursed bridesmaid is forced to track down and marry her soulmate by sunrise to escape the wrath of a malevolent demon called the Manglik. And
what?
Yes. The Manglik. And so you have
to be confused with the Mangler.
Right, right.
Going down to see the Manglik.
It's this, you know, bride, and it's all shot. It feels very, very claustrophobic because once there's this concept in the beginning about you can do a like a fortune telling kind of game to see if you have this demon attached to you, and you either do or you don't. And if you do, then you're going to have you're going to have a problem marrying anyone. You got to marry, you know, marry your soulmate once you recognize that. And so what the plot is, you know, and again, not giving too much away here, that's what this woman finds out, that she has this Manglik. And so she's supposed to be getting married. So, but that's the problem. But
so she has a malignant Manglik.
Yeah, because there's something like, you know, if you have this attached to you, no one's going to want to marry you, you know, because you have this demon that's going to show up. But as the clock is ticking, the demon's presence becomes a lot more malevolent, a lot more, you know, and a lot more graphic and with, you know, kind of get the jump scares and things like that. It's done well. It's you know, and there's a nice little commentary on marriage, I think, in here as well. But, you know, it's kind of a fun movie. And if you don't want to spend 12 minutes, just watch it at time and a half. You can watch it in 8 and be done.
Is it an Indian-made movie or?
Yes, I think the cast, the filmmakers are Indian, I do believe. Yeah.
Do you think the production is?
Well, maybe not. No, Ramon Menon wrote it. Analia Fiacci produced it. No, it doesn't sound too Indian. Patrick Rutnam, no. Okay. But the cast is Indian.
All the cast is Indian. Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, some of them are.
Okay.
But maybe not. Well, could be. Yeah, I, you know.
No, that'd be cool. I think it'd be cool if it was.
I couldn't tell from the names. They certainly don't.
Yeah.
Jason Knutson doesn't sound
quite Indian.
Yeah. Tia
and what is it? It's Indonesian.
But anyway,
Norwegian Indian.
Yes. Yeah. But it's a fun movie. I enjoyed
Sven
it.
Rukshmashani.
I enjoyed the build up of the increasing pressure and the manicness of the, you know, the story as the clock ticks down.
Was it a comedy?
No.
Oh, okay. Because the title kind of sounds like a comedy. Yeah?
It's not. There are moments of lightness in it, I think, and there's a satirical lightness to it, I think, ultimately. But it's played straight.
Okay.
But almost like an 80s slasher kind of film. A little exaggerated, you know. But it's certainly well worth watching.
Agnes Moorehead in my
right.
my spooky whatever.
And there's my number 2. I do have a number 3.
See?
Or does anyone else have any more?
Yeah, I have one more. You want me to give it now?
Yeah, yes.
This is also from Dust, a recent release. It's called Anima. And it was directed, here we go, because I think this was a Serbian-made movie. It was Yes, it was directed, let me see, and edited by George Stolykovic.
I've heard of him.
And also directed by Miroslav Todorovic. The story is by those two people. The screenplay is by Stolykovic and Nikola Jankovic. Takes place in Belgrade, Serbia in 2129. It opens with an overhead wide shot of the city at night, replete with flying cars, very much like Blade Runner. It has this Blade Runner look to it. And the overall look of the is, yeah. Then it comes to a close-up of a ground car radio issuing this message, and this is all germane. This is an important announcement for the safety and security of our society. All remaining humans must be identified and reported. If you notice a human being, please report immediately to the central android command. Humans pose a threat to our harmonious existence. Their unpredictable nature and resistance to progress jeopardize. The radio is shut off at this point as a man, or we find out he's an android, gets out of the car. Then it cuts to another long shot of him moving to an old-style phone. This was a very odd, which is curiously in the middle of a large empty space. The android enters the phone booth and makes a call. He sets up an appointment with what would seem to be a prostitute, the way she talks and everything. He travels to a CD bar. On the way, he is scanned by this floating orb that confirms his ID as an android. When he gets to this place, he goes in and you find out that it's not a prostitute. He's buying something, and obviously black market. Has a very, very Blade Runner-esque vibe to it. The seediness, the way it looks, you know, has that.
The effects? How the effects?
The effects were extremely good. Yeah. Like the orb, you know, that was very, very, very well done, and the scanning and everything. Yeah, the acting is pretty good. There again, not tons of dialogue. There's a really good thing when he goes into the goes into the bar. There's an android front guy, you know, standing at, you know, let people in. And there's this very odd doll. And I'm not going to say any more because that's a very cool scene. I like that scene very much. But I thought here's the kicker. This is interesting. Then it gets toward the end and I go, oh, okay. And then it just stops. And underneath says, to be continued.
bastard.
But it was a good teaser because I want to see where it goes. It's not an original story. I mean, we've heard this kind of story before, but I liked the way it looked, and I liked the way they presented everything.
Right.
I thought, you know, I would kind of like to see whatever the you know, what they come up with next, if they do, you know. I thought that was kind of, I like that. And it's a very short film. It's only, I think, 6 minutes or something like that. But I'd recommend it. I think I like the visuals. I thought the visuals were very good. And I like the whole attitude of how it came about. And it did tell a pretty good story in that amount of time. Like I said, when you see the end, you go, oh, okay. And then it ends, yeah, to be continued, which is, you know, I gotta give them credit. They didn't just end it. You know, they're it looks like they're wanting to move on.
Who was that on Dust Oat Studio? The guy that did District 9, that was his effects studio.
Oaken Camp, anyway, or whatever it is.
Yeah, but that was his effects studio, but they did like a bunch of, like, what was that one with Sigourney Weaver? It's like these reptilians had taken over and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it had that look, and it was supposed to be continued as a story later on, but it has that whole setup like that. There should be more to it. Yeah.
But it has don't mind. That's what I said. Since I kind of was invested in the story, I kind of want to know where it goes, you know?
That's how you felt about this, was that showcasing of what could be.
Yeah.
But they did these other funny ones. Oat Studios did, like, testing alien weapons or whatever it was. They bring in prison. Yeah, it was funny.
So have we all given our picks?
I got one more?
Oh, Gadfly?
Yeah, I had one. I don't know if it's great. It's really short, though. And it's most of it's practical effects and props. And it's called the Cosmic Dope on Dust. And it's really just like a weird send-up to like 60s TV shows. But it's got all this kind of retro technology, and they're trying to like reverse engineer some sort of plant or whatever. It's 4 minutes long, 5 minutes long, you know, and it just, it's got the great... Austin Powers type music, and you know, it's a lot of fun. I would recommend that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and we are going to
let you go
here in a minute, Dr. Hay, but we, you know, everything we're talking about is off of Dust and Alter from YouTube, both YouTube channels.
Yes.
And we're going to list all of them in our listing, right, and put links to each of these that we're talking about.
I already got them as we're
so everybody can
go and
see them if you want to.
Yep.
Okay, Dr. Ed.
My last one is a 10-minute movie called, see if I can pronounce this right, Apotemnophilia.
Sure.
A-P-O-T-E-M.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Apotemnophilia.
That one.
And once you know what that means, that's the big like blaring air horn. That's what you're gonna get in this.
Reveal.
Yes, you've read some of my short fiction. This reminds me of like Peel or The Fan.
Yeah,
it's a short film. Yes, and I don't want to. Again, if it's gruesome, it's quite gruesome. And I was really pleased that they spent so much time showing how gruesome and gory this was. I'm like, okay, you know, I mean.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Here we're going to spend our budget. We found a barrel of 50 extra gallons of blood. Well, fuck, let's use it, you know. it's good. I mean, there's not much to the story other than almost being like a psychological kind of breakdown, or a psychotic perhaps breakdown.
Guinea pig.
But it's kind of one note, but it's a red note. If you like that red, then you're gonna enjoy it.
It's a real condition too, like yes. Apotemnophilia,
it's a real thing, so. I'll go and click on the links myself so I can watch all the ones I've not seen. No, they all sound interesting, you know. I want to see them.
Yeah, I was pleased. Like, I know not everything's going to be good, and like it wasn't, you know, it was fun for what it is, and like it's not trying to do a whole lot. Like, like Peel on the Fans. Like, I'm going to write a story about self-mutilation and make it as gory, as uncomfortable as fuck, and let's see what happens. And so, hey, I applaud it. But I started watching. I'm like, this looks familiar. This, I think we're going to go here. I'm like, yes, you must have read my story.
Oh, yeah.
No. You're welcome, Apotemnophilia. No, it was fun. It was good stuff. That's the last one I have to say, other than like watching like other things, movies and such.
So, yeah, that's what I said. It's, you know, good stuff. I mean, yeah, you know, this is pretty interesting. You know, mm-hmm. It sounds like some pretty interesting stuff. Even, you know, I might go and watch. I'll go and click on the links and watch them.
You don't have anything to do. It's just kind of fun to go weed through, you know, just kind of, kind of take a gut feel and go with a movie. Or
they're not asking too much of your time. You know, you don't want to sit down and watch a full movie. Or you can get 10 movies in 10 of these shorts in the scope for one movie, you know. You know, it's like watching Love, Sex, and Robots, Sex, Love, and Robots. You know, like, you know, those were longer. Some of them were longer, but it's like that. You know, you're going to have something unique. And worst case scenario, you've spent 10 minutes and like, okay, wasn't that good. Then you move on.
Yep.
You're supporting the filmmakers. I never watch it again.
Yes.
You're supporting the filmmakers too, monetarily, because these are all monetized, because you look at the number of hits that these movies get because of the channel.
Yeah.
It's in the millions, you know, so that's the money's, you know, coming in.
That's good. To help support indie filmmaking. You know, hey,
and I kinda
someone's
like,
got to pay for that blood, you know?
And I kind of like the format. I kind of like them short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Just if they try to, and you're right, the bad ones are definitely bad, but the good ones actually
good.
They're very, Well, they stand out. You know,
it's
being condensed and like.
Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kudos to people that can do it. Even bad ones. I mean, you know, at least they're doing it. At least they're doing it, you know?
Right. Yes. And the technology exists now. It makes it so easy. You don't have to have a expensive cameras and set up. You can use your phone. You can edit on your computer with any number of free software and produce a pretty good looking product. You know, that's what's amazing now. The things that even when we shot, you know, you shot Mikey, that technology wasn't around. And so in 30 years, how much things have changed and anyone can shoot movies now. It's kind of changed the whole way films are distributed and viewed.
Yeah, we were right on the cusp of that.
Yeah,
of
right.
The whole movement.
Yeah.
We were innovators.
That's right.
We were groundbreakers.
Okay, we can do this shot one time. Don't laugh.
Come on. Yeah.
I only got
Angel, go use this.
I'm going to film this kill take. You once.
don't look at the camera.
That's right. Yes, Dr. Tarr, don't look at the camera.
More. Yeah.
Anyway.
I watch it every once in a while. I just take joy in it.
That shit happens when you call. What time did you call me? What time was that? It's like, hey, we need someone up here to fill in.
Yeah.
We never did. Did we show the art that you were doing? I think
Yes, we did.
We
didn't show very well.
We did.
It was a stick figure.
That's the one. Good rendition of me.
Dr. Tarr's no Marlena Dietrich, you know. Call him at the last minute. Ready with a wig. Ready with a wig.
So Tarlena Dietrich. Tarlena Dietrich. That's it.
I found to be alone.
I couldn't get my mouth to say those words, those sounds together.
I know, he kept.
I have a couple of movies that I wouldn't mind. I've been watching here. That one was related to our last episode. I watched Hitchcock, the movie that came out in 2012 with Anthony Hopkins as Alfred Hitchcock and Helen Mirren as his wife, Scarlett Johansson as Janet Leigh. And it's all about how Alfred Hitchcock is struggling with finances and success, his marriage, and then how he kind of comes up with the idea of making Psycho and shooting Psycho. And it's actually quite entertaining. I had heard about it. I didn't really forgot all about it, and it came across my feed. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna give this a try. And Anthony Hopkins does a really nice job. And again, since we all like that behind the scenes stuff, I don't know how accurate it is. It all came from a book, Alfred Hitchcock and the Making of Psycho, so maybe it's accurate. But I thought it was a really nice insight into
based on a Robert Bloch story.
Yes, right. His
because not it wasn't originally Hitchcock original.
No. But his right. his.
I just want to make that clear.
Yes.
Because I, as far as I'm concerned, that's his only good movie was Psycho. I didn't like anything else he did ever.
North by Northwest is pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We did talk about this before. I'm sorry. North by Northwest.
I like
the Rear Window. Okay. Shit. Make a statement and totally retract.
You said the same thing about Carpenter, too.
Yeah, I know.
Vertigo. Come on, Vertigo. You know.
I wasn't a big fan of
Vertigo. Yeah, it's not good. The Birds.
I like The Birds.
The Birds. Well,
it's terrible.
Did they go
it scared
into,
the
did,
shit out of me when I was a kid. Scared the shit out of me.
Did they go into
the
biopic?
The scene with the guys, his eyes pecked out. That was like
in the biopic, did they go into how obsessed Hitchcock would be with these beautiful actors?
Oh, yes. That's caused a lot of friction between his wife and he and his wife, you know?
Because
she was a writing partner.
The Birds.
Yes. And yes. He had that cold, the cold blonde that he loved so much, you know? But I thought Scarlett
couldn't
Johansson
act her way out of a wet paper bag.
No. Yeah. They're the one scene, it's actually my favorite
scene. But a flock of birds.
In the Birds when they're at the diner and then you see the overhead when the birds are attacking like and lighting everything on fire, you know, the chain of events that leads to the fire explosion. There's the scene where these quick shots to Tippi Hedren like looking and pausing to the different places, and it looks so ridiculous because it's not in continuity, and it's like it's a still, you know, and her face looks so ridiculous. I'm like, oh, come on.
And then juxtaposed against a blue screen too sometimes.
But
saying that, there are some scenes in there that are just pretty
They're creepy. And I like the build up. I like that it takes a while to get going. And
Birds?
And Psycho too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Psycho is definitely I think the most effective. The performances are just so good. And again, you wait such a long time for the payoff. And that's one thing they talk about in the movie. You know, like,
and it doesn't even start off. I mean, when it starts
right,
off,
it's like not what the hell is this? Banking like, yeah. and money? Or what the fuck? Yeah, exactly. Right. No, it's that was good. I think it was
Which makes it a lot scarier, I think, you know, because just purely by chance you have
right this movie here. Psycho was pivotal in how we view people, because the stuff about Ed Gein was coming out, and that was in our American psyche, and it was like, oh my god, now we have people killing, oh my, you know, like, and the monster became us, you know, we became the monsters, and then that's really pivotal. We see that starting with Psycho and you know, but and then the other one, do you guys have ones you want to chime in, or should I just go right into the next
one? Go ahead.
The next one I just saw, it's a movie that's still playing in the theaters, or you can pay for streaming. It's called The Monkey, based on the Stephen King short story.
Oh, yeah.
James Wan produced it, directed by Osgood Perkins. Has a good cast, Elijah Wood and Adam Scott. And if you've read the short story, you kind of know it's about these twin boys, and they, through happenstance, get this wind-up monkey. Don't dare call it a toy. And it got a drum in the movie, in the short story. It's symbols, like a traditional monkey.
Copyrighted, apparently, so they can't do that.
Oh, okay. But you wind up the monkey, and it puts this drum, and when it does, every time the snare drum, it means someone dies, and that's like you find that out quickly, and it's the deaths are often quite humorous. So this is a horror comedy. There's definitely a lot of tongue-in-cheek,
kind of like a Final Destination thing,
kind of Final Destination. And what I love so much, and I wasn't sure that it was a Stephen King story at first, I'm like, I wasn't quite sure, but when you hear, like, there's this dialogue or monologue over top of scenes, like you often see in Stephen King movies, the writing is like, oh, you would, it's unmistakably Stephen King, the cadence, the rhythms, the language he uses and things like that. I'm like, okay, even the guy who's doing the narration, like, he's delivering it like he's one of these Stephen King characters. So really fun, really kind of silly.
You liked it,
the top. I did. I thought, well, yeah, I came up with no expectations, like, okay, but let me just check this out. I'm like, oh yeah, this was really fun. And the first scene, within the first 2 minutes of the movie, if you appreciate that scene, then you'll enjoy the rest of the movie. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I got it on my list to watch.
Yeah, we could do an episode on it sometime. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So anybody else? Go ahead. Apply.
No, I was just going to say the new Hellboy, The Crooked Man. If you haven't seen it, it's probably. I really like the 2019 one with David Harbour or whatever. I thought that was much closer to the Hellboy franchise comic book. But then now they've got this Crooked Man, which I was really skeptical of. I saw the guy that's playing it, and I'm like, this doesn't feel like Hellboy, you know, to me. But I watched it. It's fucking excellent. It is amazing. It's really shot well. It's the story is.
I saw scenes from it. I wasn't sure.
It is. I would say even more faithful to the Hellboy comics than even the David Harbour one. You know, and I love the ones with Ron Perlman. You know, I think those are great. You know, those are amazing. So it's I love the interpretations that are going on with this. So if you haven't seen, and it's based on.
I'm okay with that, actually.
The story, The Crooked Man, is one of the, you know, the stories in Hellboy.
Right.
It was one of the more famous stories. Yeah. And it's. Yeah.
That's like one of the most, the biggest one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. It's really good. So I would highly.
I might have read it. I don't remember. I remember reading some early Hellboy about it.
I love the drawings of The Crooked Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, his interpretation.
Yep. But that's the only one that I would, the other stuff I've been watching is just mostly TV shows. You know?
Well, that's what my comment was going to be on, two TV shows. One I've talked about, I think I might have even talked about both of them before. And this one I've talked about for sure. And I just highly, highly recommend it. It's called Wire in the Blood. Mm-hmm. It's British. I don't know. You're talking about horrific. I don't know, Dr. Hitt. Every episode is so bad.
Yes, disturbing.
Very, very disturbing. But the two main people, the detective woman and the psychologist who's a profiler, and he's just weird as hell. But just they're excellent stories and they're excellent characters. And I just got to the point, Gadfly, mm-hmm. where something happens. I think it's episode 3, is it, of season 3?
Mm-hmm.
Which I was totally blown away by.
Yep.
And then the next episode is even more blown away because one of the main characters isn't there.
Yep.
Replaced by somebody. I don't know how long that lasts. I just got through that one. I haven't even gotten through that episode, actually. And the other one is one of my guilty pleasures. I really liked it. Reacher.
Yeah, Reacher's great.
And it just wrapped up season 3.
Yep.
Excellent finale. I think the show's just great. Mm-hmm. Action galore and good characters. Mm-hmm. And I just found out that they're doing a season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found out, what's her name? The one of his partners. She's in this one. She's got the mohawk, the African-American girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's got her own series that's going to come out.
Oh, that's great. She's great.
Which I thought was pretty interesting.
She's amazing in this.
And Reacher, I just think Reacher's just great. I like the guy, Richson, or is his name, I think.
Richardson.
Something like that. What?
Richardson, I think is his last name.
Richardson, something like that, yeah. But yeah, that's really, I mean, I've been watching totally crap stuff almost. Well, that's not true. Dark Wind just came out with a new season. That's one of my all-time favorite TV series. It's only got this is the fourth season. They're wonderful. Based on Tony Hillerman's characters, Joe Leaporm and Jim Chi. They're just excellent. The actors, Zahn or whatever his name, he has kind of an odd name. He's super. It plays Leaporm. He's super.
Yes. Good. Phenomenal.
I just like it. Yeah.
Because he was also in
Longhorn.
Yeah.
Longmire.
That's it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Played the cop.
Yes.
On the reservation.
Right. Yeah.
Great character. He's a great, good actor.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so well written. And I love that the cast and the production team are all First Peoples, you know? So they're in charge of doing the makeup and the effects. And, like, if they're hiring as many Native American we can do to be in the show. And that's what I love, because then that money and that work is going to those communities.
Absolutely. Longmire. I read the Longmire books. I'm up to date. I'm 17, 18 books in series or something like that. I've read them all. I'm waiting, for as soon as the next one comes out. And then the other thing, one more thing before we go. If you don't read the first Inspector Armand Gamache book by Louise Penny, Three Pines is the place that it's based on, one of the short-lived best series that they only did one season.
Yeah, fuck Prime. Fuck Prime for that. Fuck Prime
for
that. Yeah,
fuck Prime for no shit. Alfred Molina plays Armand Gamache, and he's absolutely nails it perfectly. There's some Gamache book movies out. The first book is called Still Life. They are so good. So good. There's 20 books in the series, and I think me and Mrs. Feather are on book 17, I think, something like. No, we're on book 13. I'm sorry. We just finished book 13. That's all I got.
I want to just second The Wire and the Blood. And I like it because it took place like 22 years ago. So we don't have like smartphones. You have cell phones, but you don't have smartphones. So it's all these, this kind of a time where you didn't have instant access to everything. And there's no distractions in that way, which is really good. But the guy that plays the profiler is just...
Robeson or something?
Yeah, he's amazing. Just his quirkiness and the way he steps into the character. Or he steps into the mind of the killer, And it's like he's having this kind of dialogue with them, and you're like, it's crazy. And then he's not always right, which I love too. Because
that's, you know, yeah.
He's like, I got that wrong. Yeah. You know, it was.
Oh yeah, he'll talk to the DCI, the woman who's his, like, she's the one really brings him in, and he'll be talking. All of a sudden, he'll say, and then I'm thinking about killing you, and this is how I'm going to kill you. And you're going, what? But then you figure out he's talking as the character, you know, as the person getting into their head. Because she even kind of looks at him. Brilliant. It's brilliant. And each episode is an hour and a half long.
It's like a movie, yeah.
And there's like only four episodes per season. So, yeah, very good, very good.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I've been watching, just started watching, was The Agency. What's his name? He played Magneto, the younger version of Magneto.
Fassbender,
yeah. It's a slow burn. I think it's on Apple TV or something like that. But it's really got this kind of pacing to it that's unusual, that also then throws in some like good, you know, good high action kind of espionage kind of stuff. But then there's, you know, this kind of love story, but the love story is like, you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. All these people don't live real lives, you know? So the way they even live their real lives is really not their real life, you know? So it's, everything just gets fucked up. It's got Jeffrey Wright is, you know, in it. Great. So there's just all kinds of good stuff. What is it? Waterston, his daughter, she was in that Paul Thomas Anderson movie by Pinchon.
Inheritance.
Inherent Vice. Yeah, she was the
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. She was the girl that Joaquin Phoenix was spanking at the beginning of the movie.
So, I didn't know that.
But that's Sam Waterston's daughter. You know, Law and Order. Yeah,
she's Chung.
Yeah. Better than Sam.
I don't know.
That would have been weird to see.
Would have been a more intense scene, but
Waterston in Crimes and Misdemeanor, he's amazing.
In Chaps.
You get to see him actually be an actor, you know, and apparently his stage acting is good. Finn saw him like live on stage and said he was just amazing. So, but I would that's a pretty good show. So I would recommend that one.
Okie doke.
Anybody else got anything to recommend? Tar?
Recommend? No. Watch if you want to have fun, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I've just been watching old... Yeah.
Really?
I saw...
You've been watching old movies?
No. Old movies, yes.
Come on.
Come on, not you.
I saw Bamboo Saucer the other day. Bamboo Saucer. When you know who your enemies were. Fuck.
I tried watching Tombstone Rashomon.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Totally piece of shit, man. It's an American movie. It's about a film crew who travels back in time to the OK Corral, but they get there a day late. So it's like them interview. It's a total piece of shit.
Is it supposed to be funny?
I don't think so.
Wow, they're playing it serious.
If it was, they didn't succeed.
Not on the par with Western Sukiyaki.
No, it's almost like a documentary. You know, it's just not
very good. Okay.
Well, I didn't watch it all. I only maybe about 10 minutes or something.
I was hanging out with Dr. Tar about a week ago on Discord doing a drink and draw. And I found this website the top 100 worst science fiction movies of the 1950s. So I started going through it. Every single fucking movie Tar could describe what the movie was, whether he liked it, who was in it, what was going on, and why it was bad.
It is my superpower.
Not a single one of them got by him. He didn't. There's not one. I only got the 50 and not one of them. And even some of them he's going, oh, Professor Feather hates that one. he goes, oh, Professor Feather likes that one.
I know.
It was so good. So
I can judge these things. So it is my superpower.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. Like
that's great.
The number
I
one
should know
the number one worst it was Mesa of Lost Women. It was the number one 50s worst science fiction.
That's
one of the best Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema episodes,
it is,
though.
Yeah.
It was a very entertaining episode, I thought.
Yeah. Worst donkey show ever.
You know, most of these I'd never even heard of, and he's just rattling off what's going on in these. And he's like, oh, I own that on DVD.
Right behind me.
Those are the ones you find on those, like, 50 movies on two DVDs for $10 at Walmart. Yeah.
No, actually, you know what's sad? Some of these are, like, the cleaned-up versions and all that stuff, you know? It's just, like, they're pristine badness.
Are they Blu-ray?
Some are.
Yeah. I should have saved it for an episode because it was hilarious just listening to him.
Oh yeah.
Like,
hey, we could do the top 100 list. Why not?
Yeah. Well, just to listen to him get excited about it. Yeah, every one of them, he would just be like, oh.
I was in a moment.
That'd be like our history of. We could just do that. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's visit it.
All right. I got that. I'll see if they have, because this is Flick Chart. I think they've got one for the 60s. You can do horror. You can do like the the top, you know, 100.
Well, there we go. Now we don't have to think anymore about what we want to do.
Exactly.
So much thinking.
When I said it was great, because I just sat there and listened. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, oh, Robot Monster. I love that one. That's about it. You know, and you're like,
Pro-Man.
Yeah. I've heard of Plan 9. Cool.
You've seen Plan 9.
Oh, I've seen Plan 9. Yeah.
Yes.
Plan 9. It was funny because what's the Bride of the Monster? Is that the one where he wrestles with the? It was funny because I didn't know that was a an Ed Wood film. But as a kid, that would come on almost every Halloween on like one of the late night shows. You'd see that, and even then, I'd be like,
"Don't mind Lobo, he's such a big pussy."
I'd watch that and go, "What the fuck is this? This is horrible. You know, this isn't real. Is this real? You know, I thought it was some horror host staging some
surreal."
What was it called originally, Tar?
What was that? Bride of the Atom.
Yes.
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 Nerd.
Okay. Are we out of here?
Yeah.
But I don't own a company.
I don't own a company. All right.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Music is Skysonic Destiny, Radioactive Clouds, from the Tunguska Project compilation called the Chernobyl Retrospective.
Good, I like this.
I got a touch of the Adam Lung bit.
And you have been experiencing
Unsaneradio.com. Go there, listen to stuff. You can even check in the previous. This episode. Go to the website and check the links. You can link to the Dust and the Alter movies that we talked about and recommend. Yep. Good pictures too. Unsane Radio or not? Yeah, Unsane Radio is on has a Facebook page and. Tar and Feather.
We freaks. We freaks.
Just a minute. Getting there. TarnFeather.com. And we're on Facebook, Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema. We have TarnFeather.com. There you go. Dr. Head. One tag.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebooks, on the YouTubes. Montag Lewis at Instagram, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. What's causing all the static? There. What was that?
Music. I didn't hear static.
Nope. It's like there's like a background wash of noise coming from someone's audio. Yeah.
Oh, back. I don't
hear it.
Huh. Anyway. We Freaks on Facebook. Family friendly comic series that's just beautiful.
Spooky fun.
Written and drawn by the Blue Fez, a.k.a. our good buddy John Boise.